Welcome to Doula Club, a podcast for doulas by a doula. I'm your host, Bonnie Silva. Enjoy the ride. Hey guys, on this week's episode, I talked to Brittany Revo. Brittany is a doula that I met through Carriage House Birth, a collective that I work with here in New York City. And we talk about how she became a doula, all about doula stuff, and herbs and infusions. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Thank you so much for coming on, Brittany. Oh, I know, thanks. I told you I was going to catch you eating.
That's okay. I mean, you got the best pizza, so.
I got us Two Boots pizza. It's vegan. It's super delicious.
So good.
It's like one of my favorite vegan pizzas. So, okay. So tell me about your story as a doula, because I know that you're originally from California, You're married, and you are also a dog mom like myself.
I am, yes.
And you live in Brooklyn/Queens.
Yeah. Right on that border there, right in Ridgewood. Yeah. So I was in grad school. I was teaching. When we moved to New York, I was going to keep teaching, and just kind of the program out here is a lot of work. And I was like, I have to start working while I figure out like how to get into the school system.
Did you want to be a teacher?
I did. And I love teaching.
How old were they?
They were kindergarten. I did second through fifth grade, like special ed push-in. And then I did kindergarten for a while.
Like, children.
Mm-hmm, children. Oh, my master's is in teaching reading. So okay. I was going to be a reading specialist not have a whole classroom kind of push-in, pull-out.
Yeah.
Because I think if you can read, you can do anything. Like there's very few. I know we learn things hands-on now and that's important. But if you don't know something and you want to figure it out and you can't get your hands on it, you go read about it. And
no,
then
absolutely.
You can't do that. Can't do anything.
Right.
So that was where I was going.
Okay. Okay.
And then moved to New York and was like, okay, let me go back. I went back to childcare. I've been babysitting since I was like a kid myself.
Okay. So you were
I babysat
part of the
college and like
club.
Nannied. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I was not. Parent. I was like, fuck that.
Oh yeah. No. Babies, pregnant people since I was like 2 years old.
I just spilled water on myself. Sorry. Go ahead.
At least it's water. And then we moved here. So went back to babysitting and then decided to do this doula thing, which was for a while I called it a bucket list item. I don't know why. But
why? Yeah, why?
When I first heard about being a doula, it was from a yoga teacher of mine. And I went to show it to her class, hi, Nicole.
Yeah.
And she wasn't there. And they were like, sorry, she had to go to a birth. Like, I'm here. And I remember being like, what does that even mean?
Yeah,
and
so yeah. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was like, you went
to
a birth.
Like,
yeah, I knew she wasn't pregnant. I saw her last week. So I was like, why did this happen so last minute? Usually they're like, oh, we have a sub next week. So when I saw her the next time, I was like, what does this mean? And she's like, oh, I'm a doula. And I was like, what's a doula?
Wow.
And she told me, and I thought that sounded cool because I always thought that like being a midwife would be really great. And then I learned that you pretty much have to be a nurse. And I was like, I don't want to go to nursing school.
Right.
So not going to be a midwife.
Yeah.
Like X that one off my list. So then being a doula seemed like this perfect middle ground of like not the medical side, but still being able to like be present at such a like
magical
transition.
Were you fascinated by the anatomy or by like the fact that you could be there to guide somebody?
I think that
something.
Part more. I mean, the anatomy is so rad and I love it. And
yeah.
I'm still learning about it, but it was more being present at that time and in that space and like using my power and privilege and knowledge and just like energy to make that space better in whatever way or like help them shape it while still pregnant.
Yeah.
And then like later learn about postpartum doulas. And I was like, those first weeks, months are so critical. And so like it sort of expanded from there. But for some reason, when I first heard about this, I thought that this was something I would do like after I had kids. Like, I don't know why, but I was like, I'll be a teacher. When I'm ready to have kids, I'll have kids. And when they go back to school, I'll be a doula.
Did you feel like it was like one of those things that you had to be a parent in order to experience or did you just not feel like it was the right time?
I don't even know. Maybe not the right time. Like in reflection, I know you don't have to be a parent to do this.
Right.
And I don't ever remember thinking like I have to wait until kids to do this.
Yeah.
It just seemed, maybe I was already like so deep and set on being a teacher that I was like, well, this is where I'm going. So I can do that later one day. Like my mom worked a very flexible job while I was growing up, which was really nice because she got to like make money and help take care of us financially. I mean, she did all the stuff like emotionally and all that, but then, but still like picked us up from school, dropped us off. And so there's something in my mind about like the flexibility of it. And now being in it, I'm like, this is not at all how it works. Like yeah. I personally can't imagine. I feel like when I am ready in the far future to have a baby of my own, that this work will look very different than sure. I thought it would. And then I like, then it looks now, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's funny. Like I found out about dualism in such a different scenario mm-hmm. or scenario, however you want to say it. And you know, and in the beginning when I was a doula, I did feel a slight hair of shame because I wasn't a parent and I mm-hmm. felt like a fucking hypocrite. Mm-hmm. And like, I very quickly learned like, not so much on my first year, because I feel like I was one of those doulas that like, you know, when you're like starting the car and like the engine's just like,
I love that analogy. I use it. Like that's how, with my clients all the time.
Oh yeah. Like that's how my doula career was, mm-hmm. you know? And I would like cry wolf to Sam and Lindsay all the time. Be like, am I getting hired? I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, yeah. Is it my purple hair? Is it my tattoos? And they were like, no, it's fine. You'll get there. And now that I've been doing this for like 3 years, and on my second year, that's when I fucking got it. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was just like, oh no, like the work and the support is so much more valued mm-hmm. than we realize, because they're in it and we're yeah. here to hold space for them.
Totally.
So like it took me a while. So I get what you're saying in regards to like when you were like, oh no, like,
yeah.
You know, it would be like for when I'm working or when I'm with my kids, and it would be like a part-time thing. But we now like we're in it. Like yeah. we're like deep in it. And we realize how like that's not a thing.
That's not it at all. And I do remember like the first time that I got an email from someone looking for a doula, and they were like, oh, do you have kids? And I was like, no. And they didn't answer. And yeah. I remember feeling like, ah. And then I realized that if that's that important to that to person, them, then there's a doula out there who has
yeah,
kids.
Has
and then
nothing
it's not
to
me.
Do with us.
It has nothing
yeah.
to do, because I get people are like, oh, I want you to have done it. But like, I don't think that my heart surgeon needs to have had a heart attack to operate on me.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's a
I
good
don't ask my doctor, like, are you on this birth control? Or like, have you had this surgery done before I let them do it to me or like help me through it? So... And I also think it makes me personally like less impartial. There's no, I can be truly judgment free because yeah. there's no like, well, what did you do? Or like, how did you decide this? And I'm like, I don't know, I've never done it. But
yeah.
like, I've seen many people do it. These are some of the things they've done. This is some of the things you can do.
Right.
What sounds great to you? Like, let's do that.
So you said to me, Brittany, when you arrived in New York City, you weren't immediately a doula, were you?
Correct.
How did you become, so how did you find that? Like
come to doula work? Actually, I have some amazing people in my life. And so I'd always been like, even pre knowing what a doula was, I've always, for some reason, been that person with my friends that people are like, when I have a baby, I want you there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool. Okay. I was always like, yes, I'll be there. Not knowing that that's like really a thing, other than like, of course I would love to support my people through this time. Like,
yeah.
sounds great. And then I found out you could actually like do this for a career and like make it your life. And I was like, cool, even better.
Did you research it? Is that how you found
out? So I started looking into it when I moved out here, because I realized, not that I didn't want to go back to teaching, but that I didn't want to be the New York City public school system. It's a lot of work, just like the one I was in is.
Sure.
They're all, I mean, it's public school. It's underfunded. It's overcrowded. It's
yeah.
hard work. Not that this isn't hard. You know, it was hard. And getting in the system, I
yeah.
was like, I just went back to teaching, to childcare. And then sort of decided that, like, I interviewed at some charter schools and was like, these philosophies don't mesh with my personal teaching philosophy, so not the place I want to be.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, kind of like, what else could I do? Like, you know, and so it was kind of thinking about being a doula because it had always been in the back of my mind.
Sure.
So started doing some research and looking at trainings and like weighing them. So sort of talking to my husband about it, talking to
yeah.
some of my really close friends.
Was he supportive?
Oh, yeah. He was like, yeah, sure. Whatever you want to do. You'd be great at that. Like, always super supportive.
Okay.
Not sure that we, like, knew exactly how it would look either
of us.
How it
was going to
work. Yeah. Because
like,
especially I
out.
Knew that I wasn't going to, like, do a training and just, like, start doing it. So,
yeah.
like, how does this work?
I thought that that's how it happened.
Okay.
I was so
disillusional.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so... So he was super supportive of me taking the training and doing this. And then two of my really great friends from San Francisco
yeah.
decided it was the same year that I was getting married. I got married kind of close to my birthday. And they were like, Merry Christmas, happy birthday, happy wedding present. We feel like the only thing stopping from you from being a doula is like the actual training. Mm. And we, not that they're having babies yet, but they're like, we want you at our, to be there when we have babies. Are you paying for your training? Pick training, sign up. Like it's your, all your presents for the year. And so like forever. Yeah. Kelsey and Savannah. Thank you. Both. Yeah. So that was. Oh no, they're so sweet. So that was really the push that like got me there. Cause they were like, you keep talking about it. You would be incredible at it. Like you just have to do it. And we feel like this is what's stopping you. So
where did you do your training?
Carriage House.
Oh, that's right.
Carriage House, summer 2017.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was looking at a few of them and just really settled on Carriage House because of their just sort of the whole enveloping philosophy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was very inclusive and seemed very community based and like holistic in a way that I didn't find in some other ones in my initial research. And then I like saw Sam, Lindsay, and Dom, and I was like, oh my God, yes, would love to learn from all three of you, like just based on a photograph and like reading a very short bio. So I was like, great, sold. It was amazing. Trained with a bunch of wonderful people who I like still am still pretty close with a lot of people from our little cohort, which is really lovely.
You eventually got hired from Carriage House, and now you're in it.
And I'm in it.
You're fucking in it.
Yeah. It's been a little over a year since my first birth, and I've attended about, I've, like, supported about 20 families.
Yeah.
Which feels really wild to say.
Was your first client here in New York City the first time you've ever seen a birth?
Live, like, in the flesh, my birth is on video. My sister's birth's on video. And I've seen those many times. Yeah. My parents bought this like giant video camera that took, it was like the cool version. It was still like huge, like sat on your shoulder, but they had just switched from like using actual VHS tapes, like 8-track tapes.
So
it was one of the first 8-track tapes, like still crazy as they were like, we're about to be new parents. We can't really afford this, but we also want our birth on video. So I have that and I've seen that countless times.
My father took pictures of my mom's hoo-ha, aka puss.
Yep,
me like coming out. On. Yeah,
see, but we
because I was born in the 80s. I'm an old hag.
Yeah,
you were born in what, the 90s?
In 90.
Yeah,
like so. Yeah,
totally.
Not that far, but yeah. But it's been funny because now we had all those videos, but like couldn't find them. We had, my mom had all the 8-tracks, and like our 8-track tape. Our 8-track tape player broke.
Yeah.
And like, how else do you watch them? And she recently had them converted digital.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have them all. Mm-hmm. And so now I've been taking some screenshots from home videos because she didn't have photos because it was, you know, you had film and it was different. And so she's like, we're videoing these. That's fine. And so now it's been kind of cool to get still images from that. She was like, I didn't have any of this. You know, she didn't have a lot of her pregnant like photos of that, but there were some on video. And so now I've been taking screenshots of her like, and just will randomly send them to her every so often.
I love that.
Yeah. But I feel like you can talk about what it means to be a doula and you can play role play in your training and you can even be at like a friend's birth or something or someone you already know, but then being in that space, you really learn a lot. Like you have to get in there and do it and you have to be invited into the space without having ever done it. And so doing that and then doing it again and again, I've really grown to like value just my energy as an offering. Like I can hip squeeze and I can get down on my knees and I can be like, you're doing amazing. Everyone can't wait to meet your baby. Like you're so strong. I can like say all the inspiring words. I can change the music and dim the lights or turn them up. And you know, like I can do a bunch of things, but I can also just be there and I can be in that space and like just notice that everything's going okay and that then I don't have to like earn my money by like being active for 12 hours or 16 hours. Like this isn't an hourly gig, you know. I've been to births where I was there for 3 hours. I've been with people for closer to 48. Like it ranges and they balance out over time, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so just your presence can be a lot in those spaces and learning too that when things are going well to just like step back and be like, I even like pat yourself on the back because clearly you did a job prenatally in like prepping them, you know? I
feel like when I started to be a doula, I had like no idea of like the depth of like how much our parents went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like being a doula now, you know, with the experience that I've acquired over the few years that I've been a doula, I feel like I'm so much more empathetic, mm-hmm. you know, like, yeah, I go home sometimes and I'm just like, thank God it's peace and quiet.
Yeah.
But like, but then I take a moment and I'm just like, damn. And those parents are still being parents. Like
totally.
That didn't stop just because I walked away.
Yeah.
Like if I'm doing a postpartum or like if I'm at a birth, I'm like resting in my bed while I'm like, damn, those parents are still with that baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't stop now. It's a totally yeah. different life. They so see. Like, it's really interesting to kind of just like look back for me personally and like see how like I've grown on a different level where like, I never thought about these things before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel like everyone grows in a birth. Like everybody involved is changed in some way. And it's more monumental for the parents and for
yeah.
the baby. And it's not our birth. So it's
right.
not about how I change and I grow. It's not what the experience is about. It's not mine. However, when I am invited to like play a role in this, I feel like it would be silly to pretend it doesn't change me. And so then that is sort of like then like finding a space to honor that and to have like my duel of people. Like I've texted you, I've called, you know, I've got a few people out
yeah.
there that I'm like, I just need to talk about this for a
yeah.
minute and let it be about me for a minute, because you're there and you hold witness to things
mm-hmm.
that are sometimes like so profoundly beautiful and also so profoundly sad or scary or like disheartening. And to pretend that they didn't happen because like you get to walk away from them and go home and take a bath and go to bed.
Yeah.
Is like, I feel like doesn't serve anybody, because then I always see those clients at least once more. And my birth clients, I always do like a postpartum follow-up visit. Sometimes I do birth and postpartum support. So then I'm seeing them a few times over the next few days, weeks, months. And it's like, I have to manage those myself and with my people so that I don't bring them back with me
yeah.
into their space. Because like you said, we walk away from it and they are now like profoundly changed. They are parents. Like, I'm like, okay, great. You fed, you're ate, everybody's fed. You're going to sleep, like leave you in the hospital. And I go home and like, you're still in a hospital and you have a 3-hour old baby and
yeah.
like, bye, good luck. Talk to you tomorrow kind of thing. Call me if you need me. But
yeah,
I'm always like, I'm your doula forever. But like, you know, and some people reach out and some people don't.
Yeah.
It's like,
yep,
which
it's
is
true.
Totally fine.
That is true. That's happened.
But
to
I always
too.
Say, I'm like, I know that like now we're technically like done, but I'm always your doula. If you need resources, if you find yourself, you know, at 3 months old, like wanting things, like email me, text me. Like I always love picture updates. Like I'm always like that. And some people do and some don't. But yeah, they've got a lot on their plate. Like I didn't just go on and do this for another family. Not just. It is like incredible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but from comparing like
no, it's a career.
To
no,
theirs,
for sure. Yeah, yeah,
like,
for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
You just move on to the next one. Like great.
All right. Brittany, how long have you been a doula?
I did my training 18 months ago.
Okay.
And it's been a little over a year since my first birth.
So tell me how being a doula has changed you. Like, what do you see when you look back on who you were and like the person that you are now,
mm-hmm.
like with your knowledge, with who you have, like, kind of like, I don't want to say transformed because that sounds like really hokey pokey, but like, like how have you like
grown.
Developed and matured over time being a doula?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I've changed personally, but especially as a doula, like where I was at the beginning versus where I am now is huge, because as much as you can like role play and talk about what it looks like to be a doula and how you support someone in labor, there's...
Oh, we live near the highway, by the way.
That's
okay, Brittany, I know you do herb work.
A little bit, yeah.
Like you do teas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that, because I feel like my inheritance would be to do that kind of stuff. I
mm-hmm.
feel like my Brazilian roots, like I have like some...
It's in your blood.
Like there's some old grandma behind my shoulder saying, you should fucking do it, bitch. But I really don't have the knowledge. And I know that you have, because you do nettles,
mm-hmm.
all of the things. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So this is, I'm still very new to it and like figuring it all out. And I did an herbalism course earlier last year. It was based around herbalism and elements, which was a really cool approach to it. Like there was a fire day, an air day,
oh, okay,
a water,
cool.
and just like sort of the body parts related to that and
totally.
The ailments and the feelings and
yep.
stuff like that. So it was a really cool approach. Thank you, Vanessa. And then I have been kind of delving in, like, read the whole, like, herbs for the postpartum, the Susan Weed book.
Yeah.
As one of my, like, training when you get, like, those elective choices. I was like, yeah, super into this. Erica Livingston has, like, taught me tons of little things.
She is, like, the herb queen.
Yeah. There was a day I was like, I don't feel good. She's like, take this home. Make a tea. I was like, you're the best.
Yeah, she totally is.
But, yeah, so it's been a lot of it, like, even in reading about it and seeing, like, I'm definitely not an herbalist, but everything I've read was, like, you have to start with you. It isn't something that you can really, like, offer if you don't know what you're talking about. Mm. And so, and the best way to learn that is to do it yourself and find, like, what helps you, what doesn't. And so I started very easy with nettles, just drinking a nettle infusion. And so infusions are made by taking, like, a, not a bigger amount, but I take about a cup of, like, dry tea.
What does that do? I've heard so
nettles are super high in iron, really like a mineral rich. I add them into my veggie broths, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't
eat. Do you add the nettles water or do you add the nettles themselves?
No, the nettles themselves. And I learned the first few times I just put the nettles in, I was like, screw it. They'll just come out when I strain it. And they kind of did, kind of didn't. It was fine. Like, it was just for me. Uh-huh. But I recently learned a trick. Any herbs that you want to cook in your broth, but that you would take out at the end, you put in a cheesecloth. Yeah! I had never heard of that. And I saw someone do it the other day, and I was like, that is brilliant. So, like, a cheesecloth full of nettles in there. Super high in iron, really mineral rich. And because I don't eat meat, I don't prepare bone broth for my clients.
I just do veggie broths.
I just don't know how to do it. Like, I have no, if you want to make it or get it at your house and you're a postpartum doula, I'll warm it up for you. I just, like, it's just not part of what I offer.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that either. But I think you do it for, like, days.
It's minimum, like, 12 hours.
Like, yeah, like, pioneers do that.
Yeah.
And then Erica Livingston does that. I don't know anybody else that does that.
Madeline Jacobs does it.
Yeah.
Liz does it. Yeah, I have a few friends who do it. I've been thinking about doing it, but that's all.
I'm watching Dr. Quinn. I know they did it.
I know it's happened. Nettles are great. So I started with drinking nettles. And so an infusion is a tea that's steeped for a long time.
Mm.
So whereas most teas, if you make a cup of tea, you steep it for anywhere from 3 to 12 minutes, I feel like, is usually depending. Green, white teas lighter.
Yeah,
certain teas longer, whatever. Nettles are infused over 4 to 12 hours. Not nettles, excuse me, infusions. You make an infusion, you pour. So I usually have the biggest mason jar you've ever seen, this big.
Yeah.
And I put a cup of dry matter in the bottom, and then I put like a liter and a half of water, hot water. So I fill my electric kettle all the way, and then I get it boiling, and I fill it all the way up, and then I screw it on, and I leave it. I usually make it before I go to bed.
Okay.
I fill it, I put the kettle on, and then I brush my teeth. And by the time I'm done brushing my teeth, my water is usually boiling.
Yeah.
And I pour the water, put the lid on, go get in bed. And then when I wake up in the morning, I do different things depending on what I'm doing with it. Like, sometimes I strain a cup for myself. Some of it goes in the fridge. If I'm taking some to a client, I strain into a small one to keep some. I prefer mine room temperature.
Yeah.
But that's because I don't love cold liquids in general.
Sure.
But it keeps up to 3 days in the fridge. So I always tell, I'm like, if you're not going to drink it in the next few hours, it should go in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep mine out because I'm gross like that. No. I drink it like in the next few hours, like morning, afternoon time. So it's fine. And it's strange.
So you use your infusion sometimes? You give it to your clients?
Mm-hmm. Like, I'll bring to my postpartum visit, especially with a birth client.
Yeah.
For anyone who's just had gone through any type of birth, like vaginal, cesarean.
Sure.
Yeah. After any birth or accident, even, you lose blood, you know, you need your iron restored. And so with nettles being super iron rich, I usually do an infusion of nettles and red raspberry leaf.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah
because they drink red raspberry leaf. Mm-hmm. That's what I at least recommend.
Yeah, you start drinking it around like 36 weeks. Most people do. It tones your uterus so it does the same after. So yeah, I put those two.
That's such a great idea.
Do the water and then strain it in the morning and just bring them that infusion. And I'm like,
that's so nice. Okay, so I wanted to ask you if you could give one advice to a doula. Either it's a a more experienced doula than you, a new doula, whatever advice, what to whatever doula, like what advice would Brittany give?
I think kind of going back to what I was saying and like what I found, I think my piece of advice would be to like remember your power.
I love that.
I feel like you're there for a reason. And you got to do that. And you don't always know the reason before the birth starts. You kind of think you know what it's going to be. Like I always, I ask my clients, like if in your dream birth, like what does my role look like? And they tell me, and then that's what I try to fill, but things change. You don't actually know what your birth is going to be like until it happens.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I move forward with that idea in mind, but I also roll with the punches as you are. You, the client. So yeah, remember your power and that you were invited there for a reason. And if you're a new doula, like it's coming, just trust that like you are enough and you're the right doula for somebody out there and those people will find you.
I love that. Thanks. Yeah. Well, Brittany, tell everybody your handles.
I'm Revolutionary Birth. So that's on Instagram, on Facebook. My website is revolutionarybirth.com. Yeah. That's me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming over,
Brittany.
Yeah, this was
so
much fun.
Me. This was great, Bonnie.
I feel like now I know more about you than just Callie Brittany.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit more than that. No, I'm just kidding. I am. But no, it was great to hang out. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome, girl. All right. Bye.
Well, that's it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And of course, as always, you can always, always reach me out, realdoulaclub@gmail.com. My Instagram is Real Doula Club. My name is Bonnie Silva, and I bid you adieu. Bye.